Amen. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Give it up for Joe, everyone. Give it up for Joe. Thank you, Joe. Junior high, middle school ministry exchange. It's my joy to be with you this morning. Just thankful to Pastor Jay, Pastor Ryan for allowing me to open up God's word with you today. So if we would please open up to Hebrews chapter 12, we'll be reading verses 1 through 3, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Before I begin this morning, I wanted to introduce you guys to a story of an Olympic sprinter named Derek Redmond. Derek Redmond was a British track and field athlete who specialized in the 400-meter dash. If you know anything about the 400-meter dash, the 400-meter sprint, you know that it's perhaps the hardest event in all of track and field. It requires you to sprint a full lap around the entire track. It's truly the ultimate test of both your speed and your endurance. As you run the race, you have to pace yourself. Because if you run too fast in like the first half of the race, the first 200 meters, there's a saying where they say the monkey jumps on your back. And essentially it's like imagine running a race with a monkey trying to pull you down all the way. It's what happens if you run the race too fast in the beginning. You burn out. You have no energy left to finish. The same is true if you go too slow. If you don't run fast enough, then you're not going to win the race because everyone else is going to finish ahead of you. Now, Derek Redmond was an incredible runner. He was incredible at running the 400-meter dash. He broke the British world record not once, but twice. Once in 1985, and again he did it in 1987. In 1986, he was a member of the 4x400 relay team that won the gold medals in the European Championships. The following year, he was also part of the team that won the 4x400-meter relay at the Track and Field World Championships. Derek was a phenomenal runner. And as good as he was, he had one problem, one issue that kept bothering him. Injuries. Injuries consistently interrupted his running career. At the 1988 Olympics in Seoul, Korea, he had to pull out of the opening round 90 seconds before the race started, because he had an injury to his Achilles tendon. And before the 1992 Olympics, he had gone through 8 operations due to injuries, just so he could run. But none of those injuries would break his hope of running. Running for a gold medal in the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. After a lifetime worth of training and commitment to being the best runner he could be, Derek was finally ready for the ultimate race. At the trials for the 1992 Olympics, Derek posted the fastest time of the first round of trials. He went on to win the quarterfinal round as well. And just one more win, and Derek would be able to do what he dreamed of doing his whole life. Run in the Olympic finals. The gold medal was right before his eyes, and he was ready to go. In the semifinal race, he started really well, and he seemed like he was on the way to another win. But about halfway through the race, something unthinkable happened. Right at the halfway mark, Derek heard a pop. He felt a sharp pain in the back of his leg, and he hobbled to a halt. He fell to the ground in pain. He collapsed to his knees. He realized that his hamstring had torn. He looked up and he saw all the other runners finishing the race, and he was still on his knees. To everyone looking in the audience, the race he was on was finished. There was no reason left for Derek to run. There was no chance of him winning. But as the medical team approached him, they came with a stretcher to carry him off the track, Derek decided that he hadn't come all this way just to quit now. He decided he wanted to finish this race. He wouldn't let the pain or the difficulty stop him. His mind was made up. He was going to finish this race no matter what. Everyone looked on amazed as he got back up to his feet and he started to hobble towards the finish line. However, this isn't the end of the story. You see, about 15 feet into him hobbling towards the finish line, a man came running to him from the stands. He approached him and he put Derek's arm around his shoulders and he helped him along. And as Derek was hobbling with this man's help, he looked to his right and he saw that this man was actually his father. His father had come running down to help him finish this race. As he made the decision that he would finish this race no matter what the difficulty, his father also made a decision that he was going to help Derek finish this race no matter the result. As they crossed the finish line, they were met with about 65,000 fans, 65,000 fans cheering them on. And because Derek chose not to give up the race, he ended up accomplishing his goal. His prize was not a gold medal, but his will to finish the race, no matter what the difficulty, will always be remembered in the history of the Olympics. I bring this story up because the story of Derek Redmond is a story that all Christians can relate to. You see, God frequently in the Bible describes the Christian life like a race. All believers are described as being in a spiritual race. Our goal is to finish that race no matter the cost. No matter what may stand before us, all of God's children are called to live out their faith like a runner running a race. The goal is to finish. The goal is to not lose hope, to keep believing Jesus as your Savior, to keep living for Him no matter how hard things may become. This book of Hebrews that we'll look at today was written to Christians who were running the race of faith, but were tempted to give up. They were suffering a lot of trials, and they were suffering a lot of harsh treatment for their faith. The world around them did not like the fact that they were Christians, and they were doing whatever they could to stop these believers from following after Jesus. The book of Hebrews was written to these Christians. And God wanted to encourage them to keep believing in Him, to hold on to their faith, and to never give up. God wanted these believers to finish the race that was before them. The big idea for this morning's sermon is this: God wants Christians to never quit believing in Him. God wants Christians to never quit believing in Him. And with that in mind, let's read Hebrews 12, 1-3. Verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, laying aside every weight and sin which so easily entangles us, let us run the race with endurance that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary, fainting in heart. If you're looking for a title for this morning's sermon, it's this: Ready, Set, Go. Ready, Set, Go. Now we'll be looking at three ways in which the Christian can continue in the faith without falling away. If God wants Christians to never quit believing in him, he shows us three ways how we can never fail. Three ways in which we will never fall away from our faith. It's three ways of how we can run the race without quitting. First, according to this passage, we're to run without distraction. Second, we're to run with focus. And three, we're to run with confidence. Hebrews 12:1 begins by saying this: Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The writer of the book of Hebrews spends all of chapter 11, if you look at it briefly, all of it, in the chapter right before this one, talking about believers in the past who have run the race before us. They're believers of the past. He mentions believers like Abel and Enoch, Noah and Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. If you guys are familiar with the Bible, you know these names. You know these stories. All these people were people who believed in God in the past. The writer calls them a great cloud of witnesses. By listing their names, he's pointing us back to the many, many, many people who have put their faith in God, the people who have walked with God. He wants us to remember them in times of difficulty, times of trial, times where you feel like quitting. Although these believers are a great example of faithful men and women in the past, the writer isn't just encouraging us to be like them. He's actually using their lives to show us as an example, to teach us about God's faithfulness. He wants us to look at their lives and see that as an evidence to show that God is faithful to those who put their trust in him. If God proved to be faithful in the lives of these believers in the past, then he'd surely be faithful to these believers in the book of Hebrews. And if God's faithful to them, then we today can trust that God will be faithful to us as we run the same race that they did. Here's why this message from the book of Hebrews is so important. Every believer, no matter when they might live, is in a race. This race begins at salvation and ends only at the end of your life. The race begins when you first repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus. It begins with knowing and believing that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. It begins when you realize that because Jesus died on the cross and God raised him from the dead, your sins are forgiven. The race begins at salvation. But this also means that if you aren't saved, if you aren't a Christian, if you're not someone who believes in Jesus, then you're not in this race. That you're not a participant. You're not in this race. You're just watching others run it. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14, says this, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter it by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." The narrow gate spoken of here in Matthew, and the race that's spoken of in the passage in Hebrews, it's the same thing. The reward for finishing the race is eternal life. The punishment for not is destruction and judgment. God wants all his children to finish the race. He wants all his followers to never quit believing in him. As the passage in Matthew shows us, the Christian life is not easy. There may be many times when you feel like giving up, where you feel like going back to your former life because it was just way easier. But this passage teaches us that the prize we have for finishing the race is worth it. It's worth finishing the race no matter how hard it may be. And in this passage, God shows us how we can remain faithful to the end. This brings up our first point. We need to run without distraction. The Christian life isn't just a one-time decision. It doesn't just start and end the moment you get saved. You have to continue in the faith for your whole life. That's why Hebrews 12:1 tells us to run the race with endurance. Just like a 400-meter dash, you can't run half the race and stop. You can't just run 200 meters. You've got to hold on to the end. The whole race equals your whole life. If you're a believer here today, you've got to realize that you'll be running this race your whole life. You're not near the end. You got a lot of life left to live. And if you want to run this race, you've got to run it without distraction. What are the distractions that prevent us from running the race? The writer of this letter lists them for us. He says, "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." If we want to run well, we've got to run without distractions. We've got to cut out the weight and sin that holds us back. These distractions are things that seek to continually attach themselves to you. They seek to slow us down, but we're called to lay them aside, to put them away, to leave them behind. When we look at the word sin here, it refers to anything that's contrary to the will of God. It's the things that God hates because they're directly opposite to his nature. In Galatians 5, some of these sins are listed. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: immorality, impurity, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy." Again, in 1 John 2:16, sin is defined as the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. This passage in Hebrews teaches us that if we want to run the race that God has set for us, we can't let sin rule over our lives. To try following God while not fighting against sin, it's like trying to run a race with two balls and shackles, like that balls and chains around your ankles. You're not going to get anywhere. You're not making any progress. You're not growing. You're not running the race. You're weighed down by sin. So instead of continually giving in to your sin, God wants us to fight against these sins. He wants us to lay them aside. It's important that you understand that becoming a Christian doesn't mean that you no longer sin. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden your life is perfect and you never commit any sins. In fact, when you first get saved, you still sin all the time. As you grow in your faith, as you mature, as you become more and more like Jesus, you sin less and less. And what happens when you say get saved isn't that you become sinless, but that your relationship to sin changes. That you used to love your sin, but now you hate it because you know it offends God. You know it doesn't please God. You hate it. And when you do sin, you don't want to do it. When you fall, you repent. You ask God for forgiveness. And you strive to live in obedience to Him. Paul, one of the best Christians ever, speaks of this. He was someone who ran the race very well. He was someone who finished the race. And this is what he says. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but the very thing I hate, I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Paul is speaking of the believer's fight against sin. We still sin, and we hate it. And we do, we repent, we ask God for forgiveness, and we live for Him. We lay our sins aside that we may run the race well. You can't run the race if you're enslaved to your sins. Every Christian struggles with different sins. For some of you, it might be pride. Maybe you look at everyone else around you and think, I'm way better than they are. That you're much more holy than everyone else around you. Maybe you struggle with laziness. You never want to work hard, like ever. Maybe you struggle with disobedience to your parents. You're always getting in trouble for not doing what they say. Maybe you struggle with anger, and you're always getting into fights with your siblings. Every Christian is called to fight against their sins, to lay them aside and pursue Christ. This verse also mentions another distraction that we need to lay aside, and that's called weight. Weight hinders us from running this race well. This word weight refers to things that aren't necessarily sinful in themselves, but they still hinder you from running the race as you should. It hinders you from living for God the way you should. The picture of this is very simple. Imagine running a race with a giant 100-pound backpack around your shoulders. It's going to be really, really hard to get anywhere. Imagine running a marathon, 26 miles, holding on to that. It's going to be really hard to finish. You're going to be too tired to make it across. Every Christian has weights in their life as well. The things that they need to lay aside to follow Christ. These are things that prevent us from running well. Some of you, maybe, are gamers. Maybe you love video games. I used to love playing video games when I was in middle school. Some of my favorites were Ratchet and Clank, Crash Bandicoot, Spider-Man 2, among many, many others. Maybe you love video games, but you allow your love for games to hinder your relationship with God. Let's say perhaps, and I know none of you do this, let's say perhaps you stay up all night playing video games, And when it comes time to pray, read your Bible, spend time with the Lord, you're way too tired. You go straight to sleep. Maybe you love to read books, and you find yourself reading pages and pages and pages of your favorite book. But same thing. Somehow you can never find time to spend in God's Word. Video games and reading books are not sinful in themselves. They're good things. But when you allow these things to overshadow your time with God and your commitment to God, they become heavy weights that hinder you from running the race as you are called. If we want to make sure we finish the race that God has set before us, you've got to put your sins and weights aside. You've got to put them where they belong, away from you. You've got to run this race without these distractions. And this brings us to our second point. Not only do we need to run without distractions, but two, we need to run with focus. Verse 2 states that we need to run the race with endurance, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This verse shows us that our only hope of running the race set before us without quitting, without falling away, without failing, is by looking to Jesus. We need to run looking to Jesus. He is the only hope. The writer previously, as we talked about, lists for us all these examples of godly men and women, believers that we can look to encourage us to not quit and to keep believing. They're the cloud of witnesses that are an example of God's faithfulness. But now, the writer, he points us to the greatest example of God's faithfulness. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who came down to earth to give his life as a ransom for many, as a ransom for sinners. If we're supposed to look to Jesus in order to run this race, how are we supposed to do that? What does that mean? What does it mean to look to Jesus? Does it mean we just look up at the sky and hope to see Jesus as we try to be a Christian? Does it mean we try to visualize him in our mind? What does that mean? The picture of running a race, once again, is very helpful for me. Because when I was young, my dad, he put me in track and field. And I remember when I was very young, my dad was teaching me how to run. He was training me as a little kid. And one of the first lessons he taught me, is that as I was running the race, he taught me only ever to look at the finish line. When I'm running a race, my focus needs to be on the finish line. I can't look to my left or to my right. He kept telling me, always focus on the finish line. And as I grew up, as I run the race, every time I'd have my eyes glued on the finish line. They were set ahead. I knew where I was going. And I was so focused that even the people I was running against, they'd disappear. It's like they weren't even there. It was just me and the finish line. This is what this passage is telling us to do. To focus on Jesus so intently that everything else starts to fade away. It's to choose to look at him and him alone. To look at Jesus means this. It means we're supposed to remember him and all that he accomplished for us on the cross. To remember Jesus and to remember the message of the gospel. It means we're to look at Jesus as our example and as our hope. But why? Why is Jesus the one we should look to? Why is he our example? Why can we look to him and find strength, find faith in times of doubting? This verse makes it very clear. It says he is the founder and perfecter of our faith. The word founder here means that Jesus is the source. He's the origin. He's the author of our faith. That our belief in Jesus is ultimately rooted and grounded in him. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Romans 5:8 says this, God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Our greatest hope to continue forward in the faith is to look to Jesus and remember that he's the one who saved us. Before anything we've ever done, Ephesians 2 tells us that it's by grace we've been saved through faith. It's not a result of our works. It is a gift of God. Jesus is the author of our faith. When we feel like the Christian life is too hard and we should just give up, we have to remember Jesus and who he is. We have to remember what he's done for us on the cross. We have to remember the message of the gospel. It's actually based on his works and not ours that we're saved. This verse not only shows us that Jesus is the author of our faith, it calls him the perfecter of our faith. Not only is Jesus the one who saves us, he's the one who keeps us saved till the end. The book of Philippians says this, that I'm sure of this, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. The reason we can continue to have faith is because Jesus is the one who guards our faith. He's the author of our faith, and he's the perfecter of our faith. He's the good shepherd who will never let any of his sheep go astray. Christians can run the race of faith when they're focused on Jesus Christ as their Savior. Not only are we called to run without distractions, not only are we called to run with focus, we're also called to run with confidence. Confidence is important for any athlete who wishes to succeed. There's a famous NFL player named Deion Sanders, and he says if you look good, you feel good. If you feel good, you play good. If you play good, they pay good. He was a very confident man, and he excelled on the field because of his confidence. Just as an athlete needs to be confident as they're running the race, a Christian needs to be confident when they're walking the faith. But what's different is that athletes have confidence in their own training, in their own hard work, in their own dedication. Christians, our confidence is not in ourselves, but it's in Jesus. A believer doesn't look to their own efforts and their own good works to find confidence to run the race. When we look at verses 2 and 3, it says this, that we're to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and it says this, for he who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sitting down at the right hand of God, the throne of God. It says to consider him who endured hostility against himself so that we will not grow weary, fainting in heart. Ultimately, what this passage is telling us is that we can have confidence in our faith because Jesus is victorious. Because He is seated at the right hand of God. He is the one who ran the race and finished the race and won the race on our behalf. It's interesting to look at the words that the writer uses. He says that there's a race set before us, and there was also something set before Jesus. We can run the race set before us because Jesus accomplished the mission set before him, and that was to conquer sin and death on the cross. Jesus endured till the end, no matter how difficult things became. He never lost faith. He never quit. And because of that, we can have confidence that our victory is in Christ and not in us. This passage in Hebrews shows us that God wants all Christians to never quit believing in him. How do we do that? It's by three ways. We have to run without distraction, lay away sin, lay away weights that hold you back. You have to run with focus, focus on Jesus and the gospel. To run in confidence, knowing that Jesus has won the victory on your behalf. If you're a believer here today, my encouragement to you is this. Keep going. Keep running towards Christ. Wake up every day. Continue to believe in him. Believe in the gospel. And live every day in that truth. If you aren't a believer here today, God calls on you to repent. He calls on you to repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus. It's the only way you'll be able to join in on this race. It's the only way that you can inherit eternal life. There's no other way except Jesus. Let us all put our faith and trust in him, knowing he has won the race for us. Therefore, we can run in confidence. Let's pray. Most Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, O Jesus, that you are the one who accomplished all things for our salvation. Help us to put our faith and trust in you, and help us to walk in light of what you have done, knowing that we have victory in you. I pray this in your name. Amen.